What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. John Kelly here, as always, with Jeremiah Stringer, the King of Kentucky Backpacking. And Jeremiah, we did something this week.
Oh, yes.
People didn't think happens often.
We got out in the woods together.
We were in the woods together, and it was real. We got picture. We actually had a picture and everything.
So. Yeah. Yep. Somehow we made it happen. Well, it's actually all thanks, I believe, to Nicole Hoxalot.
And Brian Winburn for taking the picture.
Oh, yeah. Shout out. So, shout out. We had like
a. Get that picture downloaded real quick here so we can look at it. Because okay. I think a lot of people don't actually believe that we were there and that we did that. But the truth is, we really were there. It happened.
Yeah, we went to Red River Gorge this weekend, and actually one of the people on the show tonight, Chris, that hiking guy, he was there as well. Jeremy, who's also going to be on the show, was there last year. There's Nicole in the pink hoodie. I mean, the pink puffy jacket. John and I in the flesh.
It happened, people. It was real.
Look at Tanya. Tanya in the background couldn't believe it. She's so surprised.
Trail medics back there.
Couldn't believe it either.
Yeah. They're all like, wait, they actually do like each other. Who knew?
We do. And we love everybody in the chat right now. I see a lot of the regulars in here tonight. We got Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir. We also got to spend some time with him and Unlikely Hiker.
Yes, we did. And it was a great time for everybody who was there. And one of our guests tonight was actually there with us. The other one was there last year and didn't get a chance to be there.
Yeah.
This year, which was kind of sad. But we're overlooking that. We're trying not to judge him too harshly.
Yeah. I mean,
he still might.
And
we're going to try not to.
We had fun in his honor, so it's okay.
We did. It was a good time for everybody involved. And Jeremiah, I do want to say I did something at this trip that I have never done at any point since you and I have backpacked together.
Oh, what are we talking about here?
I didn't go to bed first.
Oh, yes, dude, you were sitting around the fire, and people slowly started trickling away.
Yeah, I looked around, like only 10 people left out of like 25 or 30 people that were there, and I was like, wait a second, I'm not that guy tonight. I was really excited about that.
The hiker midnight struck early, and it struck hard I'll Friday. But
it also started getting a little chilly. We had our first cool morning of the fall last night, or Friday night, which was nice.
True that. It was a bit chilly out, but that's okay. Still had a great time.
It was. I cannot wait for people to read some of the news this week. It's going to be good. Wait a second. What is this?
You're talking about the fake JK news poop.
I don't know what that means, JK poop.
It means you poop.
I guess so. Like maybe I'm not reading through these comments. Maybe. I probably need to be reading these comments.
Maybe it's the Browns hat. Maybe you're taking the Browns to the Super Bowl with that hat on.
Okay, I just want to say something here. We are literally 5 minutes and 16 seconds into this, and there are 91 comments.
It's crazy. Jason said I pooped in a nice hole. No wag back for him.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. All right, well, without further ado, I think we ought to bring on our guests. I do want to preface this by saying there's a really cool story we're going to talk about tonight. I don't even know if they know that they're going to talk about this tonight, but we're going to talk about a really important accomplishment that these two did together, but then we're also going to talk about how they got there. And for one of these guys, it's a really cool story, and he did an accomplishment that many people don't pull off. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring the guys in. We got Mr. That Hiking Guy, and we've got All Things Outdoors, Jeremy Rodifer. Chris and Jeremy, how are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Oh, man. We're just doing glad to have great. You guys here. Glad to have you guys here.
All right, John's glad putting up the fake news.
Oh, we got news.
Oh, we're going to have news the whole night. It's coming. So, first off, Jeremy, we missed you this weekend.
I missed you guys, too. I was really bummed. I actually kind of look forward to that about every fall, you know, just at least getting out to the gorge and seeing you guys. And then when there's the big party meetups that Nicole puts on, I really look forward to those.
But yeah,
it's kind of sad I didn't get to bring food in this time to you guys.
Well, I was gonna say I missed you, but I kind of missed your chili dogs the most. I'm
that's
just
love language just meeting people.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. So, Chris, before we get to the Mount Elbert thing, which if you read the description in the video for tonight, you saw that we're going to be talking about that. You came up with this idea, this harebrained idea of doing something that most people would be terrified of. And yet you took it on and you defeated it. And I'm talking about the 75 hard challenge.
Oh yeah.
Can you talk about this a little bit and kind of let people know, like, why did you even think about doing this?
So, well, it all stems from Elbert. The 75 hard challenge is actually not a physical challenge. It's actually a mental toughness challenge. And it was started by a guy named Andy Frisella. And he is he's a bad dude. I mean, but he did this for himself. And what happened with it is that it made him tougher. It made him able to stand more adversity. And so basically what it boils down to is 2 45-minute workouts per day for 75 days. One of them has to be outside. You have to read 10 pages of a self-help book every day. You have to post a daily progress pic. You have to drink a gallon of water every day. And no cheat meals, no alcohol, and you have to stick with a diet. And so that's the basic rules of it. And I tell you what, it absolutely transformed. Well, I lost 30 pounds doing it, but it actually transformed my cabeza in such a way that now when I put myself in kind of discomfort situations just to see what my potential is for the outcome.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, when you started doing it, I was watching very closely what you were doing, and I joined in a little after you. And I made it to day 61. And the thing that got me wasn't the diet. It wasn't the drinking the water. It wasn't even the two workouts a day. It was reading 10 pages one night while I was camping.
Yeah.
I completely forgot to read. And yet you backpacked, you did all kinds of things during this time. And yet in the midst of all that, you made it all 75 days. So congratulations, man. That's huge.
Thank you. It's one of those things that I'm going to repeat, obviously, because I'm training for, the JMT in 25. So I'm going to repeat it, but I highly recommend it for people who are not really disciplined. They need a structured program. That's what I need. I need structure in order to succeed. And so that, I thought it was awesome. And, you know, Jeremy did it as well.
Yeah. Jeremy, I'm going to tell you what, you guys are doing some 90 day thing right now, right?
Well, he is.
Well, all I know is Jeremy, tell people a little bit about this 90 day thing you're doing to get in shape. And kind of, I mean, dude, you are going hardcore at it. Cause I've been watching your videos on Instagram and you are going after it hard.
Yeah. So Chris came up in Carlson. Actually, I think you both kind of came up with this new structure for a self-help diet. And basically it's like an hour a day, whatever your workout is, a diet of your choosing, and then a gallon of water. So that's for 90 days straight. They left off the reading. I think they did that for me. I felt like
we did it for Carlson. He can't read.
Either way, it worked out great. So literally I love it. And it's funny because I'm kind of getting to the point now where it's like I'm wanting to do it. You know, before it was work, but now it's starting to become like enjoyable. So, I mean, it's, you know, I guess for more than anything, it just kind of Chris and Carlson kind of put me in a direction. I feel like just going with it at this point.
How many days deep are you?
Well, not quite 30 yet. I think about 25.
Oh, yeah. But you're in the habit zone now. 25.
Getting there. I think the biggest thing is like, I'm not just running either. It's like running, lifting weights, you know, I'm like trying to mix it up and that's what's keeping it interesting, you know, keeping it fun. So before it's like, you just go out or you know, you jog or whatever. It's like, man, the other day I was like, man, I'm going to go for a 7-mile run. I haven't ran 7 miles since high school, you know? And it's like, all of a sudden I'm like,
Chris, out of curiosity, have you ever done a 7-mile run?
Actually have.
But yeah, I've never done a 7-mile run. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, I was at no point in my life if I ever thought about that and gone, that's a good idea. So, yeah. I've hiked like 27. I've never ran 7. That just seems crazy to me. So that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, okay, let me ask you this, guys. Let me ask you both.
Sure.
and Chris, you mentioned this earlier, these challenges, yes, they're fitness related. I say related, but it's more about the mental toughness, because you guys know now climbing a mountain takes a lot of mental toughness because it's not easy. It can be really painful. And as we'll find out here in a little bit, it can leave you with a little something afterwards. Right, yeah. Jeremy?
Yeah. Yeah. It can sting.
Yeah. So tell me, guys, like, how do these kinds of things prepare you for those kinds of hikes?
It's basically, it gets back to the point of testing your limits. It gets back to the point of testing your potential. And so, it doesn't sound like much doing 2 45-minute workouts for 75 days, but you've got life that happens around it and you have to figure it out. So it forces you to figure that out. And that's one of the things I liked about it. We had a meetup during this time. We were going backpacking. Like you said, I went to Nordhaus Dunes during this time, and I had to get my hike in like on a beach on Lake Superior. And let me tell you, hiking on sand is not fun. So it forces you into discomfort. It forces you to deal with it, and it forces you to adapt. And that is, I think, is key for anything that you go to do.
Yeah. I think it teaches you to finish the job. You know what I mean? When you, there's no give up, there's no quit. It's finish the job. You're going to do all 75 days, all 90 days. I'm going to go up to the top of this mountain and back. It's like, it kind of teaches you not to have an opt out. You know, there is no opt out for this. It's, you're right. Doing
it. You have to start over if you miss a day. If you miss any one of those, I forgot to mention that, you have to start over from day one. Not on the 90 day, but the 75 part.
Yeah.
Y'all are mad at me.
So Chris, is that not the case for this thing you're doing now?
No. Well, we built, it's a little.
Know that, by the way. I after having nasty truck food.
Okay, yeah, it is. At a
fair, I didn't realize that. I would have took that one off knowing that.
We softened it, and probably shouldn't have. We softened the parameters on this. As we're using this as kind of a springboard just to get back into training, and Jeremy's been killing it and I've been eating. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That I could see where Jeremy's thinking to himself right now. Why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
You see him talking in the comments.
Oh man. I'm actually getting a few in here right now while we're going through all this.
Yeah, Cool Quest said that
a lot of it's with sand.
Yeah, they're talking about the hiking in the sand, how much it sucks. Yeah. And Jason said, I guess that's whenever he done pictured rocks, that it burns his feet.
Yeah, it actually,
I guess it rubs.
It caused me to like wear out one of my toes and one of my socks because of so much sand in my shoes. It actually rubbed my big toe so much that it did that. Let's look at some of these comments real quick here. We got, here's the first one. Hiking on sand sucks. Keel Quest. Backpacking with Jason. I've gotten burns on my feet from sand.
Yeah.
Trail Medic Keith. Sand in general sucks.
Yeah. He hates sand a lot.
Yep. And Tanya Browning. I hate hiking in sand. I agree with every one of these people. That was my least favorite thing about going up to Picture Rocks was hiking on the beaches. I liked being on the beaches, but yeah. I had no desire to hike on them. It was just really frustrating to hike on for me.
I misspoke earlier. I meant Lake Michigan, not Lake Superior. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good.
For Nordhaus Dunes. So I misspoke.
Well, we'll hold you to that later.
Oh, okay.
Also saw another comment. What does Jeremiah have some merchandise? Where'd he get that hat? That's actually the Gossamer Gear hat. I love it though. I think it's so creative. It's like a drawing of a loadout and they just put it on a flat bill. But it is cool. Snapback is broke on it. I don't know if I need to order a new one or maybe I should just draw my own picture and put it on a hat and sell it. That could also Yeah, there's one Jason customer
in here. I remember JK emptying his shoes all the time at Pictured Rocks. Like all the time. So
I got the I'm getting worst off the
sand
now.
Done with sand. There's a bunch of sand still happening, but I'm not talking about it. I'm done with it. I quit. I'm done.
I got the worst blisters I ever got at Pictured Rocks. It was terrible. Just from the sand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man. I had Hoka One One's too. And you know, like they have that tight toe box a lot of their shoes. That's why, one of the reasons why I didn't like them, but I went ahead and wore them. And I think that was the worst blisters I ever had on a trip, was after I got through 12 Mile Beach.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's crazy. Okay. I have to know, tell us about the hike itself. Tell us about Mount Elbert. Either one of you guys, doesn't matter who wants to do it. Tell us how, like, what you did the days leading up to it. Cause I know that you two had a very different approach to the opening day of that hike.
Yeah, we did.
So why don't you guys talk about that a little bit?
Go ahead, Jordan.
Okay. So I didn't really take a lot of time to acclimate. That would have been problem number one for me. Work schedule, trying to save some PTO time, and plus I had a bucket list item of doing a trail called Red Cone Pass in the Bronco. So I wanted to get that done. Basically what I ended up doing was start driving Wednesday to Colorado. Got there Thursday afternoon, did Red Cone Pass on Friday, and then drove to Chris where he was camping out at the base of Mount Elbert on Friday afternoon. And then we ended up starting the summit 2 a.m. on Saturday. So yeah. I kind of jammed a lot of stuff in a couple of days. And this is from Indiana. So we have no hills. We have no mountains. We're flat. I'm at the flattest part of Indiana at that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And my approach was a little different. I took a week to camp at Mount Elbert and acclimate. And I'm glad I did. I basically left work on a Friday and drove straight out there 18 hours and camped for an entire week at 10,000 or above. And that really helped. That helped me a lot. It helped me not get what he got.
So had you done it before or had attempted it before? I might have missed it. I was taking my hoodie off, so I had my headphones.
Yeah, I attempted it before in 2017 with a friend of mine. And I got to I've been saying 13,300 all this time, but I think it's closer to 12,700. And then weather came in and I got so far behind the group. They already were up at the summit and they're partying and looking at the views like, you know, crappy people. And then I was like 2 hours from that. And so weather started coming in, they started coming down. They're like, well, you know, sorry. And so I regretted that ever since. And that's why I did this. It's kind of a redemption for that. This is the whole story, is I wanted to get that life regret taken care of. And I did.
Well, I was watching your all's videos on it. If people don't know, both these guys have a YouTube channel, each individually, All Things Outdoors and That Hiking Guy. And I was watching your all's videos of the trip. And Jeremy, I saw all of your jam packed together, like the whole trip, you know, squeezing as much fun as possible out of it. Chris taking the laid back approach, but both of you had mentioned,
I can't breathe approach.
No, I think it was smart, dude, because we went out to Colorado, Holy Cross Wilderness, and we parked above 10,000 feet and we were hiking the whole time. And pretty much everybody had some pretty well, they were dealing with altitude sickness in some way. Some people, you know, vomiting, some people sweating, some people just not feeling good. But yeah, it's a real
Wait
deal.
A second. If sweating is a result of altitude sickness, bro,
I got
I'm
it all the time.
Screwed. I'm gonna be like dehydrated. I'm just saying.
Well, I was talking about cold sweat. It's got all your layers on, but you're.
Yeah, I got you.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to take that variable out because that's something you can control if you acclimate.
Right.
I wanted to take that variable out, and you know, losing some weight was trying to help that move that oxygen around, and starting early so that the weather would not be a factor starting really early was another variable that we could control. And so that's why we did that.
Well, it must get
wet. That's a wise choice. That was a really wise choice. I know when I did Kilimanjaro, we took days to get to the top for a reason, because I mean, you get up around 20,000 feet and there's very little oxygen up there and your body has to acclimate. If not, you're going to be in big trouble. And even at 14,000 feet, you've got to adjust. It's not something you can just walk up day one and feel great. So, right.
Yeah, so I think mine was.
Let's talk about that trouble.
A little different. I think when I try to do these places, I just think this might be the last chance I'm ever at this. How much could I possibly jam into this, you know, week and 3 day trip? It's, you know, it's like, I feel like I don't want to waste any time. And that kind of carries into my camp life too. It's like, what do I need to do while I'm at camp? So that's what people that's ever went backpacking with me or anything, they know it's like, I'm up moving around probably 90% of the time. Making so it's furniture. Just, yeah. But at the same time, it's like when you go from, you know, 300 feet sea level to camping out on Thursday night at like 10,000 feet sea level to, I don't know what we were at that camp, Chris, below Elbert.
It's right around 10. It was right around 10.
Yeah. But, you know, Red Cone was 12,800 feet, I think, is what for that one. And then, so I was up above 11,000 feet for a big chunk of the day on Friday before I drove out to see Chris. So, I mean, it was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's hard on 1 or 2 days, a lot of times, to acclimate really well. So Jeremy, I'm curious, Chris kind of filled me in a little bit this weekend while we were at the YouTuber meetup, but what kind of stuff were you dealing with after the hike?
So when we came back down, I didn't really even feel bad. That was the crazy thing. I didn't feel horrid, but I was tired, but that was probably in, you know, I literally think I slept like 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours in a matter of like 3 days. So I didn't sleep at all, especially, you know, like I told Chris when we were getting up at 2 a.m. on that Saturday, I went to bed that Friday night. You know, by the time I got to camp, I had 8 hours to try to, you know, set up camp, relax, get some sleep, and then we're starting to hike. I couldn't sleep at all. I mean, it just, you know, I was clock watching the whole time. So that was like another day without sleep. By the time I got down, I was pretty exhausted. I forgot about this when we were talking about it earlier. I remember sitting on a log and Chris had to go find a tree, and I kind of like dozed off for a second. I was so tired. Sleep that night.
You fell asleep on that one spot that I went to pee?
Yeah, where the bird was flying around. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So when I tried to sleep that night, I think I slept for maybe a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours. And I just woke up and started coughing. And then all of a sudden it just kind of got progressively worse for the next couple of days, to where a couple of the days I literally was coughing up foam out of my, like, while I was trying to sleep. It is almost like if you came up out of a pool and you were choking on water coming up out of a pool and you kind of cough it out, that was kind of the same thing. And it's called, Chris, you'll have to tell them what it stands for, but HAPE is the
high altitude pulmonary edema. It's basically, yes, your alveoli get inflamed.
Yeah. And your lungs start retaining fluid. So the worst part about that was, like, when I came back down, I probably should have went below 8,000 feet, like right away, just to kind of let that come back and heal or whatever. But man, I was busy. I wanted to go to Ouray and Telluride. So I'm seeing all these basins camping out at like 11,000 feet the whole time. And the worst part about it was everything was work. I mean, I was moving slow. And again, I don't know, people that know me, if you could imagine me moving like senior hiker 77 the whole time. So, I mean, it was like usually I'm running from things to think, you know, to do whatever task or chore. But I literally remember sitting in my chair in the tent at Alta Lakes, and I was like sitting in that chair packing stuff up, just moving slow. It's like, it was horrible. Like, I had no energy to accomplish anything the entire week. So, yeah.
Man. I saw a comment that just popped up. It says, "Hape can become haste."
Yeah.
Now, what is that?
I don't remember what the C stands for. Maybe Melissa can help me out here, but it's high altitude. It can be cardioembolism or something like that. Maybe that's what it stands for.
According to Restless, it sounds like you just had a hangover.
you know what's funny? It kind of felt like that a little bit. I mean, you had no energy for anything. So, and I think that was kind of the worst part. I remember there was one part at Yankee Boy Basin. I was watching this Forerunner go up to the top of this switchback, and and they were struggling. It was bad. They were going up this loose hill and trying to get over these rock ledges. And I was like, that dude, he's on a ledge. It's not good. He keeps sliding backwards. So I'm like, I'll just get out. I'll run up and try to spot him. So I get out of the Bronco, had the emergency brake on, go to run up the hill, and I get to him, and it's like, I couldn't even talk. So, and it's like, man, I just went like 50 to 100 feet. I mean, that shouldn't have bothered me that much, but it's like, I couldn't even talk to the guy. I was like, 1 second, like catch my breath, then, helped him get over the obstacle. But that it was definitely didn't feel right. Now, man. When I came down below, when I got to like East Colorado, I mean, it's almost like you kind of feel yourself open up. It was really wild. I mean, it almost hurt to take a deep breath at that point. It was like so much. I felt like I was taking in so much air. Thought about calling Lance Armstrong's manager and trying to make a sale.
Well, an unlikely hiker said it's HACE is high altitude cerebral edema.
That's right.
That just sounds awful. I don't even know what that means, but that just sounds.
Well, cerebral horrid. Is your mind, your brain. Yeah. So it'd be edema in your cerebrum.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds awful. It sounds awful. So Jeremy, how long did it take you to recover from all this?
I mean, I was, once I got down below altitude, my energy wasn't horrible, but I still didn't feel myself for a few days. But I mean, it's still up until like last week, every now and then I just have a random coughing fit. And I don't know if maybe that's the season or if it's still lingering, but after a couple of days of being back in Indiana, I mean, I felt okay. It just took a little while to get the coughing fits to stop.
Yeah. Tell them about your video where you had to put music in because you were coughing.
Oh God, that was terrible. So that was the whole reason. Like I had so much more footage, but the whole time I'm like coughing in the background and it's like, man, got to clip that out. So I guess I'll just put music with it or cut chunks of it out. And yeah, it was bad. So I'm going to have to redo that trip just so I can make a little better content with it.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay, so there's more comments coming in over here. So, Chris Acone said, of course, he said, HAPE is serious business. And he's, Jacob Pouch, there's a lot of stuff you can take for altitude sickness before and after it happens, which he's right. There are some different kinds of medications and things you can take and some ways you can train yourself.
We did that. We knew all the things to do, take before and after.
Like Geeko Biloba and all that other fun stuff.
We did all that.
Actually, you had
a useful comment, but we did all that.
Yeah.
You actually, Chris, you had some type of like medical bag just with lined up with stuff just for altitude.
I did. Yeah. I had beetroot. I had like beetroot pills, which is also a vasodilator.
Yep.
I had all kinds of vitamins that I was taking, and we also had oxygen with us. So we took all those precautions. It had to do more with the fact that he had no sleep and he didn't acclimate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, an unlikely hiker is saying that HACE, it can kill you.
Yeah.
Wow. Trail medics saying it causes swelling of the brain.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. And then Melissa came back and said, it's more of an Everest thing, but it can happen at lower altitudes as well. So all I know is, Jeremy, I'm glad that you didn't go that far with it.
Well, and think about it. He risked his life to do this with me. And what kind of friend does that?
Well, Jeremy, that's who.
Yeah.
So for people sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I honestly didn't feel like I was in any danger, if that makes sense. Like I didn't feel like it was going, I basically felt low energy. I think the worst part of it was the coughing, and then coughing up the foam. It kind of made me think, I honestly, at that time, I thought it was just like sinus drainage or something. I was like, I didn't know what it was, not till I got back, but it was really weird. As long as I wasn't moving, to go up a mountain or walk or hike, as long as I was driving behind the wheel of the Bronco, I was good. It's like when I went to get out and do anything, I was like, man, I got to do something, then take 10 seconds, take a few breaths. So it was pretty wild.
And so you had quite the long drive home with that.
Yeah. But like I said, the worst part about it was probably the coughing. I actually, in the camp spots, I felt sorry for people around me. I'm sure I wasn't well liked.
For the people that, and we probably should have led with this, for the people that don't really know anything about the hiking out west or haven't heard of Elbert, what is the big deal with it? Like, why is this such a big accomplishment, and why would y'all even want to do it in the first place?
So, well, for one thing, because I tried it before and couldn't do it, that was the main thing. But it's the biggest, it's the tallest 14er in Colorado. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, and attack the tallest one. That's why I wanted to do it. Now, afterwards, we were like, we are never doing a 14er again. But I've kind of changed my tune on that now that I'm recovered, because I have some others in my sights eventually. But no, that's the big deal. Now, people do it every day. Yes, it's an accomplishment because it's something that I wanted to get done, and it's something that Jeremy helped me with. But people do it every day. I'm not, you know, saying I'm Mr. Mountain Climber now. I'm just something I want to get done.
Sweet. Well, I had
no desire to do a 14er.
He didn't.
He just drug you out there.
Honestly, I had no desire to do a 14er at all. And I think the only reason why I went is I was like, well, maybe I can help in some way, or maybe I can, you know, support him in some way. It's like, I like Colorado.
And you did. You helped me not die. And I appreciate that.
Well,
we appreciate that too, to be honest with you. I don't think I'm ready for you to be dead, Chris.
I'll tell you, I said this before, very few times can I say I've seen someone ever leave everything on the trail. Chris literally left every bit of energy on the trail that he could. I mean, he didn't have another 10 steps to get to the car. I mean, at one point he's walking like a C. He's like, can't even stand up straight.
I had a zombie walk going on the way down. My gait, I turned to the left. And then I was leaning away from my right hip, which hurt, but my left foot was hurting. So I'd take a step, and then my right arm would flail out like this. All I needed was the sound effect, because I was like literally.
Look like a zombie.
He was looking back at me like, is he going to eat my brains? What's he going to, you know, what's he going to do?
Trekking pole in hand.
Well, yeah. This just to give some scope to what the big deal is about the climb. It's the second highest mountain in the continental United States. So the lower 48, and it's also second only to Mount Whitney, which is on the John Muir Trail, which we may talk about that here in a little bit there. So let me ask you guys this. Now that you've done it, now that you've climbed this 14,000 foot mountain, I know, Chris, you're saying you're ready for another one. Jeremy, you want to do another one, or are you like, nope, almost died, I'm good?
I mean, if someone wants me to go with them, I will. I mean,
we have an exclusive tonight.
You do have an exclusive.
Well, we were thinking about, like, if we don't get the permits for JMT for 25, I was thinking, I'm trying to think of backup plans. And one of the backup plans, and I hope I pronounce this right, the Winnemuck Wilderness in Colorado has a trail where you can knock out three 14ers.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy, are
that
you
awesome?
You have interest?
Awesome.
That's insane. I mean,
I'll probably take a couple of days to acclimate. Sounds
great.
Yeah,
you probably might want to.
Well, Jeremy, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've already told Chris I'm going with him on this stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're in, dude. It's happening. Like, I'm down so hard for this trip. Like, I'm hoping we get to the John Muir, but if we don't,
right,
this sounds good too. And maybe we do the John Muir, then the next year we just turn around and do that one. Who knows?
Well, Carlson's like, he keeps saying that, no, we want to do the Mount Whitney at the end of John Muir Trail. Well, those are really difficult. Those permits are really difficult to get. So I was thinking, why don't we just get the day pass or the overnight pass for Whitney, do that. And then we'll do John Muir on another time if we don't get a permit. Because you can get the day passes a little easier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a good question. Somebody said, is John Kelly still doing the JMT in 2024? I want to, but here's the thing. Chris asked me to do this with him in 25, so I'm going to put it off a year and hang with my buddy Chris and possibly Jeremy.
And he's not going to get hape.
And I'm not going to get hape.
Gonna get acclimated to what you're gonna get.
That's right.
Daggone right, I'm gonna get acclimated. Did either of you guys try using an altitude mask when you were training?
Jeremy did.
I did actually. So it's really weird because I've never had altitude sickness at all, like including, you know, 13,000 feet, 12,000 feet. I mean, you feel a little winded, but I've never really felt sick at all. So, but for this, I knew I was kind of jamming it, you know, in a tight timeline. And so I did buy an altitude mask. I think it probably helped a little bit, but I don't know. I think my nose is automatically an altitude mask. My deviated septum, I think, kind of blocks a lot of oxygen anyways. So, but yeah, I did try it. I'd like to say maybe that was a thing that kept me from going from hape to hace or whatever that is.
That little mask.
Yeah.
So y'all,
well, Kevin Munson's on here and he said, when I lived in Colorado, I did an 18 14ers and stopped once they got to class 3 scrambles. Best was a sunrise summit of Crestone. Started the hike at 1 a.m.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So
we started at 2:30 and we didn't get to the top until noon.
I started to say, yeah, you all started off in the dark. And when, yeah, and I think in Jeremy's video, you was talking about, you know, we start at 2 a.m. It's like a 9-hour walk. I was like, golly, man, we started on, yeah, the long trail the last day. We started before sunrise just so we could catch it at the top. But I was like, man, this is insane, 2 a.m. But I guess you have to.
Yeah, well, I mean, it probably depends on your goal, too, because I know, you know, like I said, with Kilimanjaro, you leave at midnight the last day and hike up so that you can catch the sunrise at the summit. And you guys were actually, if you were at 10,000 feet, you were climbing 4,000. Yeah. I was at 16,000. So I climbed under that my last day in Kilimanjaro. So you guys actually climbed more elevation on your last day than I did getting to the summit of Kilimanjaro. So it's probably a good thing you took off early.
Yeah. I was hoping maybe for a sunrise, summit, but I also knew that probably wasn't going to happen. But it took us, the total trip was 15 hours of hiking with only half an hour at the top.
Yeah.
So no, it was slow.
6 hours down. Yeah.
Well, you earn the view.
Yeah, we did.
You earn the view. Yeah. That's not one of those things. Not everybody gets to see that except like on a video or something. To right. see it like with your own eyes, you've got to earn it. And you guys definitely did that.
Yeah. And I'm like I said, I can't say enough how much Jeremy helped me. I would have quit. If I had did that by myself, I would have quit 17 times. Absolutely would have quit.
What did Jeremy do specifically that kind of kept you going or helped motivate you or
like,
kept
you from quitting? Hey, are you alive? No, he was like,
he's knocking on your noggin. Are you alive?
He helped me. He helped me. We took a bazillion breaks and he helped me, understand when I needed to take a break instead of trying to push myself to the point where I was going to overdo it. So we took, he'd look back and he'd be like, you good? And I'm like, no. And so then we take some water or whatever. And we did get to see, you know, sunrise on the way up. We just didn't make it up there, you know, yeah. until noon.
I think the biggest thing I wanted to make sure is like every time he stopped for a minute, I'm like, okay, how's your recovery? You know, are you, is your heart rate slowing down? Are you, you know, able to breathe? Okay. It's, I think that was kind of the biggest thing is like, how are you pulling yourself back and trying to recover? I think the only time I probably physically seen you want to quit, was that false summit, realizing that was the first false summit.
Those are the worst. Those are the absolute worst.
Well, that's
me yelling at the clouds at that point.
Yeah. We're way above tree line at this point. And I just see it. You almost just see the shoulders drop and everything. And I was like, hey, Chris, look back here. So I don't know if you remember this conversation, but no. I was like, look back here. look at how far you went. You know, we're looking way down beyond where that tree line. I was like, you don't have much further to go. We got this. So it's kind of like sometimes you got to put in perspective about, you know, I've already accomplished all of this stuff. Yeah. Yep. I've already accomplished all this stuff behind me. I'm not gonna let that go to waste. If we take 10 steps and take a minute, take 10 steps and take a minute. I mean, to me, it's like, sure, it's cool to see the ultrathon runners run up and down the mountain. And, you know, there's a million people that could do it faster than us. They were on the mountain that day, apparently. So, but it's like, you know, when someone goes beyond what they think they're capable of, or someone digs deep enough to fight through the adversity that's going in their own head, that impresses me. And that's why I said, you know, Chris probably impressed me the most of anyone I've ever seen that day, and inspired me the most I've ever been inspired that day by seeing what he fought to accomplish that goal.
We actually have a few questions for you guys. If you're cool with answering some,
let's do it.
There's some really good ones on here. Did either of you purge caffeine from your diet or stop drinking before you went?
I don't drink anyway, but as far as caffeine, I don't think I had any. I had
is
water.
There caffeine in L8s? Because I had an L8. Yeah.
No. Is there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's caffeine in L8.
We had that when we got back down, though, didn't we?
Well, that's when we got down.
I had one going up, too, or the when I first got to camp, too. Oh.
You know what, guys? I'm proud of you. And you know what I'm learning right now? You're both more Kentucky than backpacking with Jason.
Oh. Oh, wait, what?
Neither one of them likes L8, and they're from Kentucky. Can you believe that?
Well, put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
That is just to this day that confuses me. Like there's no tomorrow. Speaking of Mr. Backpacking with Jason, he has a question for you. Did you see the sunrise as you were hiking up?
Yes.
Yeah. We were above tree line, so and it was really cool too.
Do you feel like it would have been better if you could have seen it at the top, or did y'all get a pretty epic view anyway? Because you're already pretty high up.
Yeah, we got a pretty epic view. I mean, yeah, sure, it can always be better, but I think when you're that tired, and you're like, oh, another day to live, yay! I think that helped.
Yeah, at that point, you'd already been walking for a while, so yeah. You saw that sun coming up. Was it cold before the sun got up?
No,
I think I had a couple layers on, and I dropped them pretty quick because I felt like I was already starting to sweat through them.
I think it's okay. Like 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's actually pretty warm.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Especially that elevation. Nice. Yeah. Did you see what else?
Here's another question, you guys, I don't know if we can answer this or not, but we'll put it on here. Would the canned oxygen be effective to help alleviate altitude struggles?
You want to take that one, Jeremy, since you were oxygen guy?
Yeah, because here's the thing, and I almost wonder if this – didn't hurt me a little bit. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it helped. I don't know. But I was kind of using the oxygen as a precautionary. So I had two canisters. And I just kind of like thought to myself, well, when I get to a certain level, I'm going to take a hit of oxygen and just do it in a routine. So that way I don't get to the point to where I'm in trouble. Cause I don't want that. I want to, you know, I don't want to take any chances with that. If I had to do it again, I'd probably almost wait till I started feeling bad before I used it. Cause I almost wonder if was it the moisture in the can? Was there something with that maybe caused some of the fluid in my lungs? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor. It's just, you know, those things that run through your head that, you know, Monday morning or, you know, quarterbacking, what would I have done different and would that have worked? So I think if I did it again, I probably wouldn't even use the oxygen until I felt like I started having some problems.
Yeah. I agree.
Just a couple people commenting on some of the false summit on Elbert was awful. Mm-hmm. And the false summits on Elbert were heartbreaking.
Two of them. So, yeah, two of
them. Yes.
So, and then one more comment, just some encouragement for you guys. Tanya Browning just wanted to let you both know you both rock. So proud of you all.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. Aww. So I'll order some soap for that comment.
You were talking about the canned air, the oxygen, and I assume that you're just kind of using a how do I feel right now as a basis to kind of measure if you're going to take that hit of it or not.
I did it as a schedule. Like
He
did it on every break.
As a precautionary.
You take one breath off of it or what?
Yeah, sometimes two. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, whenever I was backpacking in Spain doing the Camino, the first and second day were kind of the hardest because the whole time you were just climbing over the second highest point that you're going to go, like that you're going to hit the whole trail. And so I used I got a Garmin Fenix. So it has like a built-in feature to measure your hikes and all that, and it does some biometric stuff. So I just left it with my pulse up there. And once it got above, you know, whatever I was comfortable at the time, I was like, I want to keep it below 120 beats per minute. And that's kind of measuring how fast I'm going up this mountain. Did y'all do anything like that?
We had an oximeter with us. And this is one that Philip, my buddy Philip Beal gave us. And so we checked our blood oxygen, and that's what it does. It looks for how much oxygen you have available in your blood. It uses, they use them in hospitals all the time. And so we tested our blood oxygen before we left. And originally, out of 100% is what you want. Jeremy was originally, when he came to camp, 71%. I was like 89, 90. So he was real low. Yeah. And of course,
that's when I first got there on Friday.
Yeah. So we periodically checked our oxygen levels on the way up. It stopped, the meter stopped working at like 12,700. So we checked and I was running consistently 89, 90, 91. And old come from behind here pops up to 93. And I'm like, you jerk. You have more oxygen than I do.
You can tell who the runner is. That's what it is. You can tell who the runner is.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's been a battle going on over ALATE, and really it's not a battle. It's everybody and one person who disagrees. And before we do that, though, I do want to give a shout-out to Andy Ackerman, the $4.99 Super Chat. Didn't miss the poop story, did I? No, you didn't. You're right on time. So, but I was going through here, and I saw I don't hike without ALATE. Wow. That's unlikely awesome. Hiker. I bought two 12-packs of ALATE. John Howard, ALATE Rocks, the Rusty Adventurers. It doesn't get any more Kentucky than bourbon and ALATE. John Howard, it's a Kentucky specialty. Backpacking with Mitch, it's good stuff. I see it in Indiana occasionally. And then one person, the only one in here who I think is actually from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Mr. Backpacking with Jason, ALATE is awful with the puke emoji.
He drinks it with his Mountain House meals.
They call it Kentucky swamp water.
Man, it's delicious. So
you know, Jason asked earlier, I don't know if you saw it, where did y'all poop at up on that mountain? Did y'all win the game?
So I didn't.
You lost the game.
I didn't poop at all. I have a running story about that, but
okay. We'll get that in a second. Yeah, because we got that story coming up. We didn't hear what it was completely beforehand because we wanted to hear it tonight. So, what about you, Jeremy?
Yeah. No, I did not. I waited to use the privy. So, worst case scenario was having to pee when you're above the tree.
You had to do that though. That's right.
That was bad. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
What happened?
I was like a lookout. There were people everywhere. And I was like a lookout so that he could run off and go pee.
Did you say, hey, everybody, don't look over here. Hey.
Yeah. Literally on a ledge. We're on a ledge. People are front and behind us. So I'm like, can you like shut them down for a minute? I can't wait till tree line.
So I'm like, hey, look, it's Bigfoot. Look over there, you know.
That is great. That is great. Hey, it looks like Darwin's alter ego, Derwin Off the Rails, is on here saying, hey, Darwin. So
that's awesome.
It's not Darwin on the trail. It's Derwin Off the Rails. So, okay. So let's talk for a second. It is 10 till, and it is time for the discussion of the fecal matter. So Jeremy, do you have a story for us? Would you like to share?
Yeah. It's actually horrible to tell.
That's great. That makes it even better.
That's what we prefer here.
All right. So you guys, I did this trip in the Adirondacks, Jason Wish, It's Good in the Woods, David Gray and Goat. We all went to the Adirondacks to, you know, we were going to, do Marcy and a bunch of the mountains out there. One of the days I had the most horrific heartburn you could imagine. I mean, Justin was giving me Tums like Skittles and it was not touching it. For whatever reason, I think that carried into that night, and at about 2 a.m. where we were camped out, I just remember waking up in like this cold sweat and feeling like I don't know where it's going to come from, but it's coming out somewhere. So I went to stand up. I couldn't even stand up. I was like kind of dizzy and just like a horrid flu feeling. The privy was probably 20 yards away. And this is in New York. They take this thing, leave no trace, extremely seriously. I couldn't walk to the privy. I just kind of crawled out of my tent. And I remember just having to, you know, adjust my clothes to where I just laid on my side, and I remember throwing up and having diarrhea at the same time. It was that happened like 3 or 4 more times that night before I had to hike out 8 miles the next morning. Then drive like what, 14 hours back home or something like that.
Yeah, but you dumped a lot of base weight, so that's good.
That was wearable weight.
Literally dumped it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I remember waking up that next morning. I had to fix the area because it was bad. I was like, this is definitely not leave no trace.
That is brutal, man.
Little trace over here, a little trace over here.
Trace all around the team. Yeah, what do you think? What do you think brought that on? Do you have food poisoning or something?
No, I don't know if it wasn't like an ulcer or something. I never went and got checked out. So I don't know. I mean, it was wild because it happened for a little while after that too. So wow. I don't blow. Like doctors. I try to avoid them.
Yeah. Chris Acone called that Uber blow.
That's tough.
Oh, that's man, that is fantastic. So that's Jeremy's story, which is a little on the grosser side, but your story's rough. Kind of the opposite, Chris. Why don't you tell us your story? Because we've been wanting to hear this one.
I have not pooped in the woods in 4 years.
Oh my gosh, constipated, huh?
No, it's just a okay. I'll give you an example. This past weekend, I'm sorry to get gross on y'all, but I pooped Thursday morning.
Uh-huh.
I did not poop again until Sunday when we got by the rest area at Slade.
Oh.
Yeah, when I'm out in the woods, my body goes and just nothing. And so we, you know, when we do campfires and cat holes, the cat holes part is actually Carlson because I don't dig them.
I got you.
Yeah. He's the cat hole digger.
Four years.
And that's been on the weekend trips. That's been on longer trips. I have not had to go in the woods for 4 years. Now, do I race to the bathroom when I get to my apartment door? Absolutely.
He knows the plumber by name.
Yeah. I just high five him on the way.
You know, there's like chess masters, like grand chess masters. Dude, 4 year, you're like the equivalent, but the poop master. This is incredible. I don't know if I've ever met anybody. I don't know if I've ever met somebody like you.
Can a brother get a sticker? Can I get a sticker?
The poop master.
The comments are coming in from this. This is
performance anxiety.
Okay, so here's the comments that have been coming in. We've got, let's see. Backpack Jason, that is wild, Chris. Jacob Poucher, nervous pooper. Chris Acone, performance anxiety. Kevin Munson, this is the greatest new word I've ever read in my life. Vomaria.
Vomaria, that must be. Yeah, that's supposed to be for Jeremy.
And then Ben McMillan said, the poor people in that rest area.
Oh, yeah. It was toxic. Yeah.
Did you see Girl Plus Dog? She put in there the mountain house effect.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
I have, I got a poop story from this weekend, too.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, I sure do. You guys want to hear it?
I do.
John, you got some other comments?
I do want to point something out here, though. Jacob Poucher makes a good point.
What's he say?
If you don't poop on trail, your weight never goes down. You're still carrying all that food.
I get rid of it eventually, not on trail.
I mean, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it, though.
Well, I'm not an ultralight guy anyway, so it's okay.
That's science, right? Sorry, Jeremiah. Go ahead, tell your story.
Oh, no worries. So I wanted to win the game this weekend, right? And if you haven't heard of the game, it's the Don't Poop in the Woods game. It's always, at least for me, more comfortable – at a privy or, you know, a real toilet. So I decided to wait. And we done this YouTube meetup right in Red River Gorge. And on Saturday, Jason kind of spearheaded a campaign to see a great loop in the gorge. So I said, well, we're going to pass a bathroom on the way because we got to drive over there. So I'm just going to wait and hit that bathroom Saturday morning. And so I did. And we parked at Gray's Arch parking lot, and there's two pit toilets. And my wife went to one of them, and I said, well, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go to the other one. Now, the other one, they have one of them male, one of them female. So I went to the women's because she went to the men's. It was the first one available.
Is that the one with the grate pulled out? Which one was the one with the grate?
The grate pulled out where people could just peek their, you could stick your whole head in that, that pit toilet. That was the women's, and that's the one that I was in. Okay. So Cool Quest was there, and I thought Colleen was going to watch the door for me because there's no lock on the door. I mean, there is a lock, but it's like busted off. I guess they closed them in the wintertime or something, and somebody busted it off. So she was like, yeah, we can just – it's no big deal. We can stand out here and watch it. I said, okay, that's fine. So I went in there, right? I was locked and loaded, ready to go. I sat down on the toilet, and before I even started doing my business, we're talking less than 2 minutes later, some random chick just opens the door.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
I'm sitting there on the toilet, my bright white legs, you know, she opens the door, the sun shines in, sure blinded her. She makes eye contact with me, like we lock eyes, and then she's like, oh, and then she like slams the door shut behind her. And so I'm like, well, she opened the door, and I was like, sorry, I'm sorry, because what could I do? There's no lock on the door. So then,
where was Colleen?
I don't know. I never asked.
All right.
Colleen. She left you hanging. She left you hanging, man.
Well, yeah. I think there was a communication breakdown between Colleen and I because I thought that she was watching the door, but she wasn't. So I got done doing my business, used my little pocket bidet, and then I head out, and the girl is standing outside with her boyfriend, like looking at a map that's up. Ben McMillan, you should have said no autographs.
for the people listening right now, we just had a comment from Ben McMillan who basically said Jeremiah should have looked at her and said no autographs.
Yeah, well, I went outside there and they were looking at the map and I was like, you know, I had to apologize to this girl and explain, you know, somebody's supposed to be watching the door.
That's so awkward.
I had to, man. She's just standing there, and I'm waiting because other people are going to the bathroom too, so we're going to be there, and I'm just going to be standing next to this girl who opened the door on me in the pit toilet. So I walk over to her, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I thought somebody's supposed to be watching the door on me. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I was like, it's okay. It's no big deal. But you are supposed to knock before you open the bathroom door. So really, that one's on her. I'm pretty sure that one's not really on Colleen. That one's not on me. I will sprinkle the blame on her. Knock a little one of those before you ever open the bathroom door.
Well, Colleen was secretly filming the people accidentally walked in on Jeremiah.
Oh, she set me up. She set me up. That's awesome. That'll be in her video. The girl's reaction.
Jason said he was there and it was hilarious. Okay, there's some great comments coming in here. We got to get these in real quick. We're talking about the poop game and Pierre Ferrugia. I hope I'm not destroying your name there. He said, I would never win.
Always
never win. Greg Morton says, I lose the don't poop in the wood game within the first mile. Caveman OS says no poop in the woods for me this weekend. Did make use of the pit toilet at parking though. We've also got Backpacking with Mitch said I won the game this weekend as well.
Yeah,
and then Mitch, my favorite back and forth between two people on this. Derwin off the rails. I cheated and won the game. Imodium for the win. Then Pierre says to him, Derwin, that's a dangerous game. Which Derwin replies, definitely paid for it on Sunday afternoon. So well, listen, guys, we're getting ready to wind things down, and we need to let everybody know where they can find you guys online. So let's go ahead and Jeremy, let's start with you. You want to tell everybody about your YouTube channel?
Yeah. All things outdoors. It is separate, like walking outdoors. So, and then you can find me on Instagram, atod_16. So it'll be the two places. Actually, if I can say real quick, shameless plug, the live stream's coming back on the channel, and we've got David Gray scheduled for this Wednesday. And we also got a couple of other really cool guests you might know, as in Jason Wah, Mr. Backpacking with Jason. And then confirmed today, Mr. Jeremiah is going to be on. So we're excited to start off our Kentucky tour.
All right.
Awesome. That is awesome. And Chris, tell everybody about your YouTube channel.
Well, I got this little thing I've been doing for a decade called YouTube. And my little channel over there, just come check it out if you want to hear a fat guy breathing in the woods. or if you want to see what kind of ridiculous things I'm going to try next. In fact, I do have one coming up, which is a 25-mile hike in one day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then where can they find you on the Instagram?
At that hiking guy, and that's where I put a lot of pictures there from trips and some gear reviews, some shorter gear reviews.
And I know that you mentioned it earlier, but tell everybody the name of your show and where they can find it with Brian.
So I'm on Jeremy's show with him. He has one for all things outdoors, so I produce for him. But also me and Brian Carlson have a channel called Campfires and Cat Holes. And so we do the Wednesdays that in between Jeremy's show. So we're going to do one next Wednesday. I'm trying to get Devin on. If I can get a hold of him, try to get him on and talk to him. I have been in contact with a Catherine Gregory who might be on our show.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
We'll see if she's able to settle down for just 10 minutes and talk to us. Well, she's always going, you know.
Well, gentlemen, it has been a good time for sure. Definitely a good time. And thank you for being on tonight. Is there anything, Jeremiah, you want to say before we start get ready to sign things off?
Well, I got to say, Chris, had a great time with you over the weekend. Yep. And Jeremy, can't wait to link back up with you in person as well and conquer some hikes together.
Yeah. See you soon, buddy.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you all later. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Love those guys, man. Good dudes. So I got to meet, I've met Chris before. I met him last year at the fall meetup, but I actually got a chance to actually get to know Chris a little bit better at the Indiana spring meetup. Man, what a cool guy. Like the dude, you should see some of the stuff he does. He brings he's one of these guys that gets a lot of gear, mm-hmm. you know, from companies and stuff for him to check out. And then he'll go to these meetups and he'll just give away, do drawings and stuff and give half the stuff away.
I love that.
It's the wildest thing. It's so cool. And Jeremy really doesn't stop when he's at a campsite.
No, he's go, 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 man.
Yeah, he doesn't breathe, I don't think. I don't think if he knows how to breathe when he's in a campsite. But awesome, guys. Glad to have him on. Jeremiah, what we got coming up in the future?
Here's the next couple weeks for you. Next week, Monday night, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Brian Anderson, who is a master of all things related to the pest known as the tick. So I think we're going to unpack there and talk about some prevention. How should you treat bites? Everything tick related with backpacking. And then the following week, we're joined with Backpacking with Buckley, Tim Buckley. Can't wait to talk to him.
Tim Buckley. Yeah, and it's going to be a good couple of weeks. And we've got a future episode that we're working on right now that's going to have a couple past guests who have become an unlikely duo. And we'll explain that probably in the next couple of weeks and let you guys in on what that is. But for right now, for myself and Jeremiah, as always, it's been a good one, man.
Yeah,
looking forward to next week. We'll see you guys.